صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره.
Unfortunately, the fact is that most of people are not awake. Even if they look to be awake, but they are not awake. And only when they die, they become awake. As we have in hadith, النَّاسُ نِيَامٌ حَتَّى إِذَا مَاتُنْ تَبَهُ. People are very relaxed. They indulge themselves and they act as a person who is asleep. When they die and they see everything, then they become awake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Qaf tells us that when you die, Allah will remove the curtains from before your eyes. لَقَدْ كَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. Now all the veils, all the curtains are removed, so your eyes are sharp. And it is interesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says لَقَدْ كَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. These are your own veils and curtains. These are not something which is necessary to be there. We have put something in front of our eyes so that we cannot see what is the truth. But when we die, these will be removed. Even shortly before death, it's possible to see the reality. But then it's too late. Like Pharaoh. When Pharaoh was drowning, he said, آمَنْتُ بِإِلَهِ مُوسَى. Now I believe in God of Musa. He didn't say, I believe in God the Almighty. He said, in God of Musa. You know, when two people have battle, and in the end one of them surrender, so he may not accept that the other party is right. Just he says, okay, I surrender. So he said, I give up. I believe in God of Musa. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-ana waqad asayta min qab. Just now, for all your life you have been doing mischief and disobeying God. Now that you have seen the hereafter and the realities of the world, then it's too late. Here I remember the story that once an angel was sent by God to, this is mentioned in hadith, maybe it's authentic, maybe not, I haven't checked the chain of narration, but this is a hadith. So an angel was sent by God to Pharaoh and asked Pharaoh, what will you do with one of your servants if you give him everything? You give him respect, you give him money, you give him power. And then instead of being thankful to you and instead of understanding that whatever he has is from you, he claims to be Pharaoh. He claims to be the king of the country. And he denies your kingdom. What will you do with that person? And he said, I will make him drown in Nile so that he will be damaged and destroyed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, we do exactly what you wanted. Because, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala normally behaves in the way that we ourselves propose. Like Prophet Yusuf, when the ladies in Egypt, you know, they suggested something bad to Yusuf. Yusuf said, to be imprisoned is better than this. So this was his proposal, that to be imprisoned is better than this. So Allah said, okay, so we will protect this, you from this, but you will be imprisoned. So try always to make good proposals and not easily accept difficulties. Yes. Any akafu, yeah. Maybe the other reason is that what was the main danger which could threaten a person. So Pharaoh was such a person. For all his life he had all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like any other person, but he was always denying. And not only he claimed to be God, he said, I am the greatest God and Lord. Ana rabbukumul a'la. There is no limit for arrogance. Someone who is arrogant will not be satisfied to be, for example, mayor of a city or king of a country. No, they want all world. And as the late Imam Khomeini was saying, even the people who have control over the whole planet, if they say there is something in moon, they say, okay, we want to rule over moon and then Mars, and because there is no limit. Indeed, this is because of human thirst for infinite perfection, which is in God, but mistakenly they point to some other, you know, replacement which will never satisfy them. Anyway, what is important is that we don't act like Pharaoh that does all mischief and in the end says, Amantu bi ilah Musa. This is too late. What we need to do is to try to have the same experience of someone who is going to die, but when we are okay. Okay? If now you are healthy, you are young, you are strong, you could imagine that you are going to die just in few seconds. So what will be your way of life? It will be totally different. It's very difficult to find some person who says, I will not change my pattern of life. It must be someone who is very high in his faith, that he says, even I know that I am going to die, few minutes later, I will do the same thing. Even if I know that, for example, I'm going to die a few days later, I will do the same thing. Most of the people will change their life because they know that what they were doing was not worthy. So we must always think that there is no guarantee how much we are going to continue this life. There is a hadith which is very beautiful, which says, Mutu qabla an tamutu. Die before you die. What does it mean? Does it mean to commit suicide? So for example, if I'm going to live for 60 years, so I commit suicide, then I die before I die? No, definitely it's not this. Die before you die means try to experience the same situation that you normally experience when you die. When you die, your reliance on this material world will finish. Your reliance on any other person will finish, because you will know that even if your parents or your friends are the richest people, are the best doctors, they cannot do anything. Someone who is dying, no one can save him. You will only rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you experience this, when you are okay, when you are healthy, your life will be totally changed. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Qaf, لَقَدْ كَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. When you die, your veils and curtains will be removed. The same will happen to you when you are okay, when you are healthy. Even now you can see those things. As the Quran says, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ إِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ لَتَرَبُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ. Allah says, if you had this certainty, now you would have been able to see the hell. Doesn't say when you die you would see. No, just now. And I frequently refer to a story of one of the young companions of the Prophet who was a person migrated to Medina, but because they didn't have any friends, any relatives in Medina, so they used to live on a platform next to the mosque, which is, was called Soffa. Soffa is a platform. So it was like this, you know, a little bit higher than ground. And one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after leading the prayer of Fajr, was going out of mosque with some of his companions, and then he met this young companion, and he looked very pale. The Prophet asked him, "Kayfa asbah?" How did you start your day? He said, "Asbahtu muqinan." I have started my day while I am certain. The Prophet said, "Likulli shay'in alama." Ma hiya alamatu yaqinik? Everything has some sign. If you claim that, for example, you are a Muslim, there must be some signs. If you claim that you are a scientist, there must be some signs. If you say that you are a good swimmer, there must be some signs. It's not just you claim. There must be some signs by which you can be tested, you can be examined. Unfortunately, for many of people, many of us, when we say we are Muslims or Shia, it's very difficult to find any signs other than the physical signs. Yes, we have, you know, hijab or we have beard, but when you go to the spirit of that person, you don't find any sign. Indeed, you find signs of other things. Anyway, the Prophet said, what is the sign? What is the evidence for your certainty? Because certainty is very high level. He said, my certainty has caused me not to drink and eat during the day. It means that I have lost my desire for food and water. I fast all day. And my certainty has caused me not to sleep. I have no relaxation, no rest, because I feel that the time is too short for me. How can I sleep? When you have a very big, you know, exam, or for example you want to travel the night before, you cannot sleep. Or if you sleep, your sleep will be very short, and you know, frequently you wake up and then you go to sleep, you have no rest because you have this worry and concern. And then he said, I see the hell and heaven, and I can tell which of these people are in heaven and which are in hell. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, keep silent, because this must not be disclosed. Then he asked the Prophet to pray for him so that he'd become martyr. And the Prophet prayed for him, and later he became martyr. This is what the Quran says, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ. If you had this knowledge of certainty, you would have certainly seen and watched the hell. Imam Ali alayhi salam in Khutbat Muttaqin, the sermon about the pious, says, هُمْ وَالْجَنَّةُ كَمَنْ قَدْ رَآهَا فَهُمْ فِيهَا مُنَعْمُونَ وَهُمْ وَالنَّارُ كَمَنْ قَدْ رَآهَا فَهُمْ فِيهَا مُعَذَّبُونَ. The pious people are Like those people who have seen the heaven and they are enjoying inside the heaven. It's not just they see the heaven, they enjoy heaven. And when they recite the verses which are about hell and punishment of Allah, they feel the punishment and pain of hell. For them it's not something just they imagine. It's something that they see and feel. This is very important. So, what should we do? We should try to become awake. And this is very important. Please try to live, and I advise myself also, try to live in the way that you will never regret. This is very important. There was a very pious teacher in Tehran, which is very famous. He was called Ruzbeh. And he had master in physics, but also he had very good knowledge of Islamic studies. He was a very good teacher. And now some of his students have followed him and they have opened Islamic schools in Tehran and other cities. And one of the advices that he had was that our students do not become like what we tell them. They become like what we are. This was one of his advice, that students will not become like what the teachers tell them. They become like the teachers are. Anyway, this man, in end of his life, he suffered from serious illness. I think he had cancer. And when people visited him, they asked him, if you were given another life, then what would you do? Now that you have all this experience, if you were given another chance, what will you do? He said, I will do exactly what I did. Who can claim this? Maybe one in thousand or one in million. Because this man from the beginning knew exactly what is he doing. If you, especially you read the story of his life, you will be amazed. Although he was the head teacher, he was always before everyone else in the school. Sometimes few hours before lab classes start, he was there to prepare everything so that students, when they come, their time will not be wasted. He had always simple food, and he used to have his lunch with the person who is opening the door of the school. Very special man. So he said, if I am given another life, I will do exactly the same thing. So between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how many of you can say the same thing? If not, so why we don't change our life now to the way that we never regret? And if we regret, there is no point, no benefit. So it's better to restore what has been damaged or lost and live in the way that we will never regret. Of course, whatever we do, we will regret. But there are two ways of being remorseful. Have you heard the story of people who were asked to go to a very dark tunnel? Okay? And before they went into the tunnel, you say tunnel? Corridor, dark corridor, yeah, tunnel. So they were told that there are some stones. Okay? If you take, you will regret. If you don't take, you will regret. So some of them told, we should take them because they were thinking that maybe these are the things that would be useful, and if we are going to regret anyway, so let's take them and see what it is, maybe for curiosity or whatsoever. And some of them said, why we should take something that we are going to regret? Why we bother ourselves? So some took and some didn't take. When they went out, they saw that these were jewelry, very expensive jewelry, diamonds and like that. So those who had taken some, they were happy. But they regret why they didn't take more. And those who didn't take anything, of course they regret much more, why they didn't take any. So all people will regret. This is why Qiyamah is Yawmul Hasra. All people will regret. But you can regret why you didn't take more sawab with you, more good a'mal with you, or you can regret why you have not taken anything with you. Which one is better? So we must become very much awake and alert. Have you heard the story of a famous poet called Attar Nishapuri? He was a very famous mystical poet, and he has a book which is very famous called Tazkiratul Awliya, which is biographies of saints. He was a very ordinary man. He had a grocery shop, and he didn't have any special inclination towards spirituality, simple life. But because there was some, you know, good potentiality in his heart, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that some people have this potentiality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will prepare them for going closer to him. So once an old man went to his shop and asked him, and Atta was young, but he asked him, are you ready for death? Are you ready to die? He said, no, I am not ready. And that old man said, I am always ready. And then he lay back on the floor and died. Attar was shocked. How is it possible? This man had control over his death. So if this is life, so what is my life? Every day opening my shop and, you know, selling something, cheating people maybe or may not, and then going home, always repetition of the same thing. So he changed his life and he became a mystic, an artist. There are people who have control over their death. This is what we call voluntary death. They can die, even they can die and come back. This is possible. It's not just the Prophet Isa alayhi salam who had this. Of course, the Prophet Isa had this. There are other people who can do this. They can take the soul out of body and bring it back. But they don't do this as a game, just to entertain. If they are good people, they do it only when it is necessary. But there are also people who may have achieved this because of some exercises, and then they may do it just to show off. There was a great man in the city of Mashhad, and this man was called Hafiziyan. You may have heard his name. He is very famous, and he also trained some students. He was a very spiritual man. He traveled a lot to India. And you know, in India, there are some ascetics, some murtad, who may not have any faith in God, or if they have, maybe they are not Muslims. But because of lots of exercises that they have, they have reduced their reliance on material world. They have strengthened their soul, okay? By eating a little, by having not proper sleep, by doing difficult tasks. I heard that some of them, for days and days, just they sit without any movement. Even I have heard, I don't know if it is true or not, that sometimes they, you know, put their hand like this so that a bird comes and lays eggs, and then the eggs, you know, yeah, then the new bird, you know, fly. I have heard this, but I don't know myself. But there are many things that which are mentioned by the people who have visited them, and these are true. For example, for many days they eat just a little thing, or they don't never sleep on a bed or mattress. They sleep on something very hard and difficult. Anyway, they have achieved some power. But this doesn't mean that they are good people. This is like a business. This is like a sort of training. If you go to the same training, you can get this power. This man, which I mentioned, he had a friend in India who was very much respectful to him. But he realized that after some time, he is no longer paying that much respect and attention to him. So he asked him, why? What has happened? He said, I have found someone who is more strong and stronger than you, more powerful than you. He can take the soul out of the body and bring back. So he said, I asked him to take me to see that man. So they went together to see that man, which was living in a very far place. When they reached, he realized that he is not a good person. He wants to just show off so that people praise him. So before saying anything, what that person did was he took the soul of this person who was common friend, who took him there, out of his body to show him that, to show Mr. Hafiziyan that I have such a power. But then he tried to bring soul back. He couldn't. He made all his efforts. He couldn't. He realized that he must be more powerful than him because he has stopped him from doing the reverse action. So he started begging him, please release him so that I can bring him back. So he said, with one condition, that you will never do this again with anyone. And he accepted. Then that man again became alive, and Mr. Hafiziyan told him, look, he is not a good man. He just does this because he enjoys and wants to show off. So what this story and many other stories show is that we have such a great hidden power inside us that if we can invest on that, we can explore that and we can actualize that. And this can be done in two ways. This can be done by serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then this will come as a side product. You will never serve Allah because of this. This is wrong. Some people, you know, say we want to become very close to Allah. Then we say why? We say because we want to read the minds of people, or we want to heal the people. So this is not serving Allah. This is not Tawheed. It is church. You serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this will come automatically. And even if they don't come, it's not important. Because you are serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other way is by some exercises, by trying to reduce your attachment to this material life, maybe in religious way or non-religious way, maybe by some sort of monastic life, but still it is possible. Because the power is there. It's how you discover this power and release this power. In the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, once Imam alayhi salam saw that many people have gathered around a person asking him lots of questions and he answers to all questions. For example, they ask, where is my father, where is my mother, what is my grandfather's name? He tells them all these secrets. And he was not a Muslim. And some people started to have doubts. If a person who is not a Muslim can have this power, so is it really Islam true or the only way? Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asked him, how did you achieve this knowledge? He said, by disobeying my own desires. So whenever I had desire for something, I didn't go for that. I went for the opposite. So for example, if I was very sleepy, I didn't sleep. When I was not sleepy, I slept. If I was very hungry, I didn't eat. You know, when you don't eat, then your hunger may finish. The feeling of hunger sometimes finish. Then I ate. If it was very hot, I wanted very cold water. I didn't drink cold water. So always I went for the opposite. So of course this strengthens your soul. Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, do you like to become a Muslim? Do you have desire for Islam? Said no. So Master said, now you must become Muslim. So he became Muslim, and then he said, my power finished. I see nothing now. And then Imam said, this is because you had lots of exercise, and because you didn't believe in God, Allah rewarded you in this world. And that was your reward. That was your reward. If someone doesn't believe in God and he studies hard, what is his reward? His reward is that he gets certificate, good job. This is his reward. So this man had his reward in this dunya. That was respect of people and the knowledge of secrets. And Imam said, now that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in Akhirah, your reward is reserved for your Akhirah. What we understand is that there are different ways, but all indicate one thing, and that is the greatness of human being. We are very great beings. We are not just a mass of 50, 60, 80 kilograms of flesh and blood and water and so on and so forth. There is a poem which is attributed to Imam Ali, which says, أَتَزْعَمُ أَنَّكَ جِرْمٌ صَغِيرٌ وَفِيكَنْ تَوَى الْعَالَمُ الْأَكْبَرُ. Do you think you are a small mass while there is the greatest world inside you? The world inside us is even greater than the physical world. You know, the physical world is very great. All these stars and mountains and oceans and jungles. But compared to the world which is inside us, is much smaller. Because physics compared to spirit is not comparable. This is why they call human being al-alam al-akbar, greater world. And sometimes they call the universe al-insan al-akbar, a smaller human being. And it has lots of meanings. When you say the whole world, physical world, is a human being, it means that it understands and reacts. It's not equal whether you do good thing or bad thing. The whole world reacts. If you are a servant of Allah, the whole world will be subservient to you. And we are greater world, we are al-alam al-akbar. So we should understand this. Our example sometimes is like someone who has a very good car, very fast, a car which has been specially designed by a car factory, which can drive fast, very safe, with lots of facilities. You can have access to internet, satellite, everything. There is fridge, everything in the car. But you just use this car because you don't know the facilities, you don't know how to use it. You just use this as a place in which you keep your dog and cat. Because you don't have any place for your dog and cat, you just put them inside the car. Is it a good use of this car? It's misuse, it's wasting. You don't need such a car just to put, you know, some cattle inside. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us much greater vehicle, because this body and this soul that we have is like a vehicle for us. And we use it only for very small things. It's like having a very good computer and give it to a child. What does that child do with this computer? Just plays, you know, with the keys and that's it. He doesn't understand that how much work can be done by the computer. So we need to know ourselves. This is very important. We need to have ma'rifatun nafs. We need to have knowledge about ourselves. Our knowledge about ourselves must not be just saying that my name, my surname, date of birth, nationality, occupation. This is not knowledge of self. The knowledge of self is to know all the potentialities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put inside us. And one of the things that is very special in human being, this is my last point, is that we don't have a fixed nature. This is very important. A dog is a dog forever. A cat, a horse. If you compare living a style or lifestyle of a horse today to a horse who lived 1,000 years ago, there is not that much difference. Is there any difference between understanding and lifestyle of a horse today and a horse 1,000 years ago? No. They are all the same. But human beings are very much changeable. We are not fixed. Sometimes in the same family, with the same parents, you see children are very different. Sometimes people who are twins, but still they are very different. People from one part of the world to other parts of the world may be very different. In the same place, people may be different, like, for example, the palace of Fir'aun. In the palace of Fir'aun, Musa was brought up. It's very special, huh? Musa was brought up in the palace of Fir'aun. So we are not fixed, and we are not subject to any kind of pre-distinct destination or this thing. We are changing, and it's up to us. And it's interesting that according to the Quran, we can change to a state in which we no longer enjoy good things. This is very bad. A horse always enjoys something and hates something. If you have, for example, some kind of grass, all horses enjoy that throughout the ages. But human beings are not like this. Some human beings enjoy remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some hate. When you mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they hate. Some people when are in mosque, they enjoy. Some people when they are in mosque, it's as if they are in prison. Some people when they watch TV films and games, they enjoy. But if they read a book for 5 minutes, they sleep. We are very much changing. And I mentioned one story, this is my final point, as I said, to show this. There was a big market of perfume. Everyone in that market used to sell perfume. So whoever entered into that market only smelled very good, you know, fragrance of perfumes. Once someone came to this market with his horse, and the horse made it dirty, and you know, it smelled bad, very bad. And because these people were only used to fragrance of different kinds of perfume, like musk, jasmine, all these kinds of perfumes, they couldn't go near the place which was dirty and to clean it. So they said, okay, we need to find someone who is used to this. It is very bad to go near that. So they said there is a person who works in one stable which looks after horses, okay? And he always cleans the horses and he's used to this. Said, okay, we go and bring him. So they went to bring him, and he had no hesitation because he's used to this. But what happened was that as soon as he entered into that market, he became unconscious. Because he couldn't tolerate fragrance of perfume. His nose was used to only bad smell. So he didn't go inside the market. He couldn't tolerate it. This shows that how human beings can be different. Those people who were used to good things and perfume could not tolerate to go near that dirty stuff. And this person could not enter the market and he became unconscious. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are people, إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجَلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. When Allah is mentioned, their hearts become very much interested and aspiring. And there are people, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, اشْمَعَزَّتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. They hate. Inshallah, we should be among those people who enjoy good things and hate bad things, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Inshallah, we should quickly go to Imam Khomeini Institute. Haji Agha.
The one
Yeah. No, I am meeting here, but Haji Agha Haqqani is there. Oh.
Now that you are young, you must build yourself so that even if all people of the world listen to you, you don't forget that you are a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether people praise you or blame you, if you are doing what Allah wants, you should not feel different. This is very important. Unfortunately, our soul is very, you know, much complicated, and it's very difficult to understand even inside your own soul. Sometimes you think you are very good. Then one accident happens and you realize that you are, you know, in a very terrible situation. And sometimes you think you are very bad, but something happens. When you are tested and tried, then it will become known that Alhamdulillah, you have achieved something. It's only when you are tested and challenged and questioned that this can be known. A great alim, you may have heard, Sheikh Muhammad Hussein Qaradi Isfahani, who is known as Kumpani. He was very top scholar and mostly was based in Najaf, originally from Isfahan. Once he had a bag of potatoes and onions, you know, because, you know, great ulama, normally they shop themselves. as long as they can, they go for shopping themselves. So this was the bag was torn and potatoes dropped. And this great alim and Ayatollah started collecting them and smiling. So some people asking, why do you smile? You should be now nervous or, you know, angry. He said, no. The reason I smile is that when I entered the seminary, I was just a young talib. I remember that once I had a very expensive tasbih, rosary, very expensive, because he was from rich family. And when that was torn, the thread, I didn't bend to collect them. I thought it's important, you know, why should I bend and collect them from the floor? Now, after tens of years of studying in Najaf and becoming an Ayatollah, I bend for potatoes, which have no value, you know, that much value. And I felt inside my heart that there is no feeling of, you know, any difficulty or hardship. So this is why I'm smiling. Alhamdulillah, I'm smiling. But on the other hand, you may have heard the story which is mentioned in many books about Salat and about especially Riyah, that someone for 40 years was always praying in the first row of Jama'ah, just before Imam. It means that every time of prayer he was in mosque early, and he was among the people who were in the first row. After 40 years, for some reason he couldn't come early to the mosque, and he had to say his prayer behind the people. And then in his heart, he felt very bad, that what would people say that if they see me in the last row? So he realized that in all these 40 years, the real motive to be in the first row was so that people say that this man is, mashallah, very good mu'min. Like the person who was saying his prayer in the mosque, and someone said to his friend, mashallah, look at him, how peaceful and how beautifully he prays. And then he said, I am also fasting. So this desire for being praised by people is there. Sometimes, you know, we don't notice, but this is there. So it's very important to get rid of any kind of bad or ugly characters. And this is why ulama sometimes tell us that there are three different stages, very general stages. One is takhliya. I am talking about this one, yeah? One is takhliya. Takhliya means to evacuate, to remove. So the first thing we need to do is to remove everything which is bad from our heart. If you have a house and you want to make it beautiful so that you welcome guests, the first task is to get rid of all the rubbish. Okay? There is no point in painting and decorating using good curtains and, you know, furniture, but there are lots of rubbish and they smell terrible. So the first thing is takhliya. And this is very important. Rumi says that there was a person who had very big storeroom for wheat. Every day after harvesting, he was putting lots of wheat inside the storeroom, hoping that someday it become full. But it never became full. So he tried to check what is happening after I put all this wheat inside. And he realized that there are big mice in the storeroom. Whatever he puts, they take away. And he says, this is our example. If there are no mice inside our heart, so where is the light of all these prayers and worship that we have had? Why after years and years of worshipping Allah, we don't feel any light, real life inside our heart? So there might be some mice, some harmful things inside our heart that they take away whatever good we bring. So tahliya is very important. After tahliya is tahliya. Just I changed the place of that, you know, this tahliya. Tahliya means to decorate, to adorn. Helia means adornment, zinat. Tahliya. Tahliya is the third. No, this is not, this is for the black. Tahliya. This is tahliya. Of course, you should put dot here to show that this is ha. Okay? Decoration. We get rid of bad characters and we try to acquire good characters. Like after you remove all the rubbish from your house, you bring beautiful stuff. Good light, good curtain, carpet, everything. And after this is tajliya. Then your heart starts shining, illuminating. Tajliya means to enlighten. Okay? If you get rid of bad characters, acquire good characters, then your heart will shine. Not only you, every person around you also will benefit from this light. This is the nature of holiness. I sometimes, you know, tell in some of the discussions about dialogue, I say whenever there is a holy person, he would be beneficial for all people. Would not discriminate against any kind of people. Any rational person, any person who wants to benefit, can benefit from a holy person. And this life is what we can achieve. There are many hadith and also verses of the Quran which emphasize that we can enter to the universe of light. Allah waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumat ila an-nur. Allah is the guardian of those who believe, take them from darkness to the light. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says in dua Arafah, إلهي أنت الذي أشرقت الأنوار في قلوب أحبائك حتى لم يحبوا سواك. You are the one who has started this light, has enlightened the heart of his lovers so that they don't love anyone else. When it is dark, you may make mistake. You want your maybe book, you take something else because it's dark. You want to take your jewelry, you may take some rubbish. But if there is light, if it's bright, you don't make mistake. Okay. The time is over, so inshallah, we will continue tomorrow. Tomorrow will be our final.